And now let us remain standing. Brother Irwin Correll of Ketchikan, Alaska, will invoke the Lord's blessing upon our convention, this day of meeting together, and especially upon our Brother Lamel.
Our beloved Father in heaven, dear Father, we rejoice with great rejoicing to come before thee once again as thy dear children, to gather together, thankful, with hearts full of rejoicing for this opportunity to rejoice before thee, to praise thy most holy name, to ask thy blessing upon all the services of this day, and especially upon Brother Ed Lamel as he discourses thy words of truth to us. May our hearts each individually be blessed, dear Father, in the hearing of these words, and may they be accepted into good and truthful hearts, in joy and giving thee praise and thanks for all things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
It gives me great pleasure now to turn the lectern over to Brother Ed, who will deliver the formal welcoming address. Brother Ed.
Thank you, Brother Michael. We're the Los Angeles class cordially welcome all of you to this 56th annual July 4th convention. And we hope that all of you attending will be uplifted, that you'll be strengthened with rich spiritual food that you're about to partake of. We all appreciate, we realize, the same precious promises. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're walking the narrow way against the tide of humanity. And we need to get away from the many influences of this world to feed upon God's Word, to have our minds stimulated, filled up with the truth of God's divine plan. As we see the trouble progressing, marking the end of this old order, I believe that our fellowship becomes more precious, more important than well-known admonition, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. And of course we see that day approaching. Assembling together with our brethren in convention tends to promote closer fellowship, interest, and love. We get the opportunity to be mentally stimulated by the words of truth, the words of encouragement. Hopefully we are going to be spiritually invigorated, to have a greater zeal to please our Lord and Master, and of course a firmer determination to make our calling and election sure. And I like also Paul's wonderful admonition in Hebrews 10:24, and this is from the Weymouth translation. And let us bestow thought upon one another to brotherly love and right conduct. And this is what we seek here at this convention. I think we will be stimulated and encouraged not just by the talks that we hear, but by our chance to see our brethren again, to share some personal experience in the truth, to encourage one another to walk along this narrow way. And a convention like this gives us the opportunity to share our love one with the other. And our Lord has encouraged His people to seek each other's fellowship for companionship in the study of His Word. And He has promised special blessings upon the meeting of His people. I like that old familiar text in Matthew 18:20, And I think it's good to keep in mind at a convention, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I hope we feel his presence each day of our convention. At a convention of the Lord's people, it brings to mind the thought of the brethren being like coals of a fire, which, if separated, tend to cool rapidly, but if brought together, will tend to increase the fervency of the entire mass. It's our hope that at this convention, there will be a greater spiritual enthusiasm, and that we receive strength as we hear God's word expounded. And our attitude is most important. If we desire to learn not merely something new, but to learn something that will draw us just a bit closer to the Lord, then we're going to go away from the convention spiritually satisfied, spiritually enriched, with a feeling that we've been drawn nearer to the Lord than ever before. And of course, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. I like a scripture in Jeremiah 15:16, where it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." It's our wish that we will be served rich spiritual food at this convention. In the inspired words of the Lord, the apostles, and the prophets, we have the divine will expressed, explained, and illustrated. I think if we pay close attention to the words of truth from our speakers, we'll all receive a rich spiritual blessing. We know that they've spent many hours in preparation in order to benefit us. Paul tells us in Hebrews that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And as James points out in James 1 and verse 25, the promise of divine favor and blessing is not to forgetful, listless hearers who fail to apply their hearts unto instruction, but to the attentive hearers and faithful doers of the word. You know, we're all leaky vessels, and we constantly have to feed upon God's word. And it's our desire at this convention that we will not only be provided with rich spiritual food, but that we'll have an atmosphere that will draw us ever closer to the Lord. The word of God, we know, is his treasure house in which he has stored truth to sanctify the church. And he's given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. These precious promises and the admonitions from God's word have to be constantly drawn to our attention in order to strengthen our faith in this very busy world in which we live. And we want this convention to bring us ever closer to the Lord in spirit and in truth. Moses, in addressing those typical people of God, shows with what carefulness God would have all of his people regard his word. And this is from Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 through 20. "Ye shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and that they may be frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them unto your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. And Joshua said to them in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein. And in Proverbs 7, verses 1 through 3, it says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. How important God's word is for us. This convention is going to give us the opportunity to lay up treasures of divine wisdom, to inspire us so that we might walk a little closer in our Lord and Master's footsteps. Our Lord would have us apply not only our heads, but also our hearts to the instructions of His Word. And may our hearts be drawn closer to the Lord throughout this entire convention. And as we listen to God's Word, may we appreciate more and more the great attributes of our Heavenly Father, wisdom, justice, love, and power, and the opportunity that each one of us has of serving Him. Coming to a convention and listening to talks requires effort on the part of the listener. Some of us at times are careless listeners. Our thoughts might drift elsewhere, and we might listen only to those parts of what someone is telling us that we are especially interested in. And we might miss altogether some important things that other person is telling us. As a careless listener, we might be inclined to anticipation. We might think we know what the speaker is going to say. We might not really bother to listen. It's interesting that the word listen appears in only one scripture of the Bible, and that's in Isaiah 49, verse 1. I like the word hearken, which appears in the same verse. The word hearken is from the Hebrew shama, which is a primary root, and I like the various ramifications given to it. It means to hear intelligently, often with the implication of attention and obedience, attentively, carefully, discerning, perceiving, understanding, all implying attention and obedience. And I think the implications are obvious. When we listen, when we hearken to the Lord, we're required to react to what we hear, and that means that we must pay close attention to what He is saying. We cannot be inattentive. We cannot interject our own thoughts and substitute them for our Father's thoughts. We must make sure we understand exactly what the Lord's instructions are. And since our speakers are going to bring us God's Word, I think these same principles in general would apply. I like a scripture found in Psalms 103 and verse 20, where it says, bless the Lord, ye His angels or ministers, that excel in strength and do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. The inference is very clear. If we hearken to the voice of God's word, if we understand what he requires of us, then we will do or obey his commandments. We see then that to hearken or listen to the Lord or to his word is not simply passive. It requires reaction. It requires action on our part. And I think our heart's attitude should be that of the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 33, where he says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with all my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." May the thoughts from God's word expressed by our speakers give us more of God's Holy Spirit, a greater feeling of love and devotion as we partake of the rich spiritual food during this convention. May God's word and instructions be deeply impressed upon our minds. The prophet Jeremiah expressed these words in Jeremiah 15, verse 16. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And how very important it is for us to grow to a better appreciation of God's word. And this is what increases our hope and increases our faith. Through faith, we grasp the exceeding great and precious promises of God, and we appropriate them to ourselves. Faith anchors our hearts securely to the precious things of the future, and it tends to build unity. In order to have greater unity, we should have a greater and a deeper love for the truth, and of course for the harvest message and the wonderful beauties of God's divine plan. In analyzing our Christian unity, we realize that we acknowledge one Lord, we're inspired by one faith, we're baptized with one baptism, we're begotten by the same Father, we're filled with the same Spirit, we're all striving for the same high calling. And if these things be true, then we should have one disposition, one sentiment, and it should be in complete harmony with the will and with the plan of God. All of us appreciate the same precious promises, in the world but not of it, walking the narrow way against the tide of humanity, sharing similar experiences in this world is common to all of us. And all of this should generate strong ties of love and of sympathy. At times, I don't think we fully appreciate the great advantages that we have of assembling ourselves together for our mutual benefit. And as we see that time of trouble fast approaching, marking the end of this old order, our fellowship together becomes more precious, more important than ever before. The importance of fellowship and unity of spirit can be illustrated by this little story. J. Stuart Holden, being shown through a large factory where hundreds of looms were spinning very fine linen thread, the manager of the mill said to Mr. Holden, So delicate is this machinery that if a single thread of the entire 30,000 which at this moment are being woven should break, all of these looms would instantly stop. And he stepped up to one of the machines, he broke a single thread, and suddenly the loom was still and remained so until the thread was rejoined. This mechanical wonder exhibited in the factory that day clearly illustrates that we should do nothing to break the thread of Christian unity and of Christian fellowship. Joy is something that we hope you will all experience at this convention. In the Psalms, we have many references to joy. Psalm 5:11 says, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." We as children of God should be exceedingly joyful. We've been called out of darkness of this world into an understanding of God's divine plan, of His divine mind, to an appreciation of God's great love, and of course the opportunity to serve our Creator. And we take great comfort from the words of Psalm 28 and verse 7. "The Lord is my strength, my shield, my heart trusteth in Him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. With song will I praise Him." Conventions tend to stimulate us to be faithful to our covenants of consecration, and we hope that this one is going to do the same. We have a chance to renew our hopes and our aspirations. One of the great joys that we can all consider is the future work of the church for the millennial age. That is, if we are faithful to our covenants of consecration, we're going to have that wonderful opportunity of rehabilitating the world of mankind, bringing them up from the sinful world of sickness and darkness to an understanding and to an appreciation of God's Word, helping them to gain everlasting life. What privilege could be greater? And we think of those beautiful words of Malachi. Malachi 4:2. "The Son of Righteousness rising with healing in His beams." The Son of Righteousness, of course, is the Christ, head and body. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." The church in glory with the Lord is going to put down sin and the evils which now beset man, going to give the world a clear understanding of God and of His divine plan. Zephaniah 3:9, "I will turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. Then every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. They shall all know Him from the least to the greatest. The knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea." And what a joyful prospect this is, to have a part, if faithful, in bringing this about. And what comfort it is for us assembled at this convention to be stimulated, mentally invigorated, with lessons from God's Word of Truth. to be able to gain from it inspiration, guidance, and wisdom. And we think of those inspired writers that recorded these precious things for us. We think of those who saw the Lord, who heard His teachings when He was here in the flesh. 1 John 1, verses 3 through 4 says, "That which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." It's through God's divine word, His glorious plan, our covenants of consecration, that we have fellowship with the apostles, with God, with our Lord and Master, with our brethren, one family, the divine family. And our hearts should continually rejoice that we, just a very few in this entire world, have been called to this great privilege of running in the race for the high calling, that our minds have been illuminated by God's precious word of truth to the secrets of God's divine plan for man. And I believe that God's people who continue to feed upon His word, to assemble frequently with His people for stimulation and fellowship, are blessed with almost having a kind of a wall of protection against the world. And as we listen to the lessons given by our speakers during this convention, may they inspire us to walk ever closer in our Lord and Master's footsteps. We appreciate their admonitions and instructions from God's Word, and may we seek to really apply them in our daily lives so that we will be more pleasing to them, really implement them in our everyday lives. And we know that we must cooperate with Him in our own development, that we must put forth greater personal effort to be pleasing to Him. You know, it's so easy just to sit and hear scriptural admonitions and instructions and character development, but it's simply not so easy to really let them sink in and incorporate them into our everyday lives. May the word and plan of God exert a powerful influence on each one of us. And may an atmosphere of love, devotion, and good fellowship prevail throughout this entire convention. Again, on behalf of the Los Angeles class, I invite all of you, and I welcome all of you with a very warm welcome, and may your joy be full.
We certainly want to thank Brother Ed for those words of welcome. I think that we are looking forward with great anticipation to the lessons that the Lord has for us in these 3 days of convention.
Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come to the hallowed presence at this time to thank Thee for all the way that Thou hast led us. We thank Thee especially that Thou hast called us from out of darkness into Thy marvelous light, that Thou hast invited us to become members of Thy divine family. And dear Heavenly Father, be with us at this convention. Give us greater measure of Thy Holy Spirit, and may we be uplifted and strengthened. May our fellowship grow deeper and stronger. May we have greater joy. May we have a greater desire to walk closer in the footsteps of our beloved Master. Bless each and every heart here and Thy children throughout the world. And we ask these things in our Master's name. Amen.